Without further ado, we have you guys who are clued in by Zoom. You guys got your sources by email. Anyone here wants them? I have them printed out over here.
Okay.
Let's just recap, things that we said last week, because we're picking up from that point. All right. We demonstrated from many sources that the function of the neshama is not to keep the body alive. Right? We brought sources that Adam HaRishon was animate a whole hour before the neshama was put inside of him. Not only that, we brought another medrash that he was intelligent in the sense that Hashem showed him all the generations that were going to come out of him before he had his neshama inside of him. He was alive, he was intelligent, and then he got his neshama. All right, so you don't need a neshama to be alive, you don't need a neshama to be intelligent. And we demonstrated that the neshama finds this world very alien, uncomfortable here. We brought a medrash from Tehillim that the neshama tries to leave at least once a day, wants to just leave the person, it's had enough, and Hashem has to intervene and to keep it in the body. Right? So the neshama and the guf are not a natural fit. Right, and the guf does not need the neshama to stay alive, and the neshama doesn't enjoy this world and doesn't enjoy its sojourn in the body. So the question is, if the neshama doesn't make you alive and it doesn't make you intelligent necessarily, we're going to qualify that this evening. What does a neshama do? All right, that is tonight's topic. Right? So. we did learn one thing last week. We did learn one thing that the unkelos that everyone quotes, that vayadam lenefesh chaya, he got his neshama, he was nefesh chaya, unkelos translates as rucha memalala, right? That the neshama gave Aramish the ability of speech. Now, so, and as we brought last week, Rav Zera figured out that Rava sent a golem to speak to him, right? Yeah. Right. Rav Zera figured out that it was a golem, right? Not a real human being, but because it couldn't speak. But it was intelligent. It understood the directions. Rava sent him to Rav Zera's house. So this raises a question. What is it about speech that requires a neshama? Speech is communication. The animals don't have language as we know it, but we know anyone who's a pet owner, they understand commands, and with their own kinds, they could communicate, whether it's mating calls, whether it's a warning of danger, et cetera, et cetera. So what is it about speech that needs a neshama? All right, so these are the issues that we're going to tackle tonight. But speech is definitely a clue to what the neshama is about and what the neshama gives the Adam. Let me just make a l'chaim. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. L'chaim.
Amen.
Amen.
So now, on the source sheet, we have from the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal. I mean, I'll say it outside, but you have the source for it. The very first source says something very interesting about one thing that the neshama does for the guf. Right, it's from Chelikav Perek Gimel. And he says, so even though we only perceive the neshama in the guf, we know, we feel we may have a neshama because of being alive or because it gives us a form of intelligence, which we have to qualify, because as I say, the human being is naturally intelligent even without a neshama. Right, which we'll explain, right? But it has a special quality. Listen to what the Ramchal says. Hine yesh bakuka shetezakech etzem haguf v'chomro v'taleu ilach ilu yatrolis alos ima bahano v'shlemos. The neshama has a unique quality that it could purify the body and elevate it level after level after level. Right? Until the body itself becomes immortal, like the neshama, And the body itself could also go to Olam Haba, which we'll discuss later in the series. This big machlokas, the Rambam and the Mekubam, whether there's a body in Olam Haba, but the Ramchal is of that mindset, that the body ultimately not only is zochah l'tchiyas ha'meisim, that everyone agrees to, right? But that the body after tchiyas ha'meisim, when this world will end, the body will go to Olam Haba also. Which was the Rambam didn't think that was the case, but when we're going to go into the Ramchal's model, the Ramchal constructed a model of a different type of body that actually answers the concerns of the Rambam.
Different
goofs, right? So that's exactly what he's alluding to over here. The body becomes spiritual. See, the Rambam's objection to how there could be a body in Olam Haba, I know we're going to talk about it later, but heck, we'll talk about it now. The Rambam's objection is that what, you're going to have a stomach and you don't eat? Now, there's no eating in Olam Haba, in Bachil, or Shtia, right? You're right, you have your kishkas and you don't excrete. You'll have lungs and you don't smoke. It's all right. The goof will be a bria levatola. A bria levatola is nothing good. Having a useless piece of machinery is waste. That's not shlemus, and that's why he objected to the idea that there should be a body as we know it in Olam Haba, which it seems that Rav Sadia Gaon and others thought that there was, and their taina was from a simple issue of justice. Because the body was equal partners in the mitzvahs, so why should the schar of the mitzvahs only be for the neshama, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Now the Ramchal actually dropped a hint to what we sometimes write in Derech Hashem shorthand, things that he explains in his other books at much greater length, but he dropped a hint. He says that the neshama purifies the body. The Ramchal in the Das Tvunis builds a 10,000-year model. So I hope no one's in a rush, right? Uh-huh. Right. It's 10,000 years, meaning from Bryas Olam till that he describes that, of course, Shital Fish didn't have Alma. First 6,000 years is this world, which included in this world is that everyone agrees, it's one of the Yudgim Ekrim, there'll be Tchias HaMesim in this world still. Mm-hmm. So that which they say, Mashiach has to come before the year, for it means he has to come a little bit, quite a bit before, because we have to fit in Tchias HaMesim before the game over, which, by the way, with only 200 some odd years left, we're very, very behind in the global warming. If the world, Chazal described that in the seventh millennium, it's water everywhere for 1,000 years, like by the Mabul, until the Rebbe reconstructs the world as Olam Haba. So we're very behind in melting the polar caps. We have to produce more carbon emissions, and we have to increase the global warming. So if there's one afternoon you don't have any zitzvahs to learn, just take the car out for a spin and make your contribution to bring about Achras Hayom.
I see you're a Trump man.
Because we've got to melt the polar caps in only 200 some odd years, because the Chazal described that tzarikim shotim al pnei amayim. But the Ramchal builds a model to satisfy the Rambam that we said that gradually the neshama is going to absorb the body. And he divides up into that in the seventh millennium where Chazal described the body shatim al pnei hamayim. His teaching is that the body lives off the neshama. It doesn't need to eat anymore. And that's the wings. Right, I'm getting a phone call icon. I have no idea what that means. Hope everyone can still hear me. But the wings refers to the power of the neshama extending beyond the body, surrounding the body, sustaining the body, and that's why you could fly over the water. That's in the seventh millennium. In the eighth millennium, we begin to lose the coarser parts of the body, like the bowels and things like that, that they become ruchnius, get rid of them. But the higher parts of the body still stay, as in the eyes, the ears, the mind, right? And then those go in the ninth millennium. And in the ninth millennium, there's just a koach klali called a guf. It's just a general thing, because it's becoming more and more ruchani. And then by the 10th millennium, ha'asiri yekodesh, the guf has been totally absorbed and synthesized with the neshama to the point, as the way Ramchal describes it, is that you would say that the neshama has a talent, that a koach, that was once called a goof, and that once took up space, but now it's totally spiritual. So you see how the Ramchal built a model that satisfies all the Rambam's objections. The Rambam's objections was to a body as we know it, but now since we talk about, you know, what he just alluded to over here, that the neshama could elevate the body and convert it into ruchnias, right? So then, you know, so now you satisfy both, that the body will get schar, but the body won't be a bril of vatol because it takes on a different form that finds olam haba totally natural. It could become a regular citizen over there because it has become totally ruchani. And this process, of course, builds up in potential in this lifetime. And that's the secret that the neshama is called a candle. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, right? Because the ner, to illuminate the darkness of the body, right? The neshama comes in to shine and dispel the darkness of the body. So that's one talent that the neshama has. Your biochemical life force doesn't cause your body to evolve. For lack of a better word, you stay the same person you were with your biochemical life force. The neshama is transforming you, right? Transforming you, and that's the necessity for Tchias HaMesim, for that transformation to go from potential to actual. Right now, this time I was just building up the potential, it's by the resurrection. So one thing that the neshama does that the biochemical life form doesn't do, for lack of a better word, it evolves the body. Yeah, Ari, you want to say something?
Is it different than a malach?
Yes,
malach,
very good. We're going to talk about this. A malach doesn't take on a physical form as we know it. When a malach appears to a Navi, according to the Rambam anyway, that's always in prophetic vision. Even according to the other Rishonim, it takes on a very airy, ephemeral, it kind of envelops itself in the elements, so it takes on like a pseudo body, not a body as we know it. But you're raising a very good point. We meant to discuss this. We're going to contrast a neshama with a malach in course of tonight's presentation. But I need to go step by step,
okay.
Right? Step by step, because the Ramchal just said that one fact about what the neshama does to the body.
Right.
That the body wouldn't do for itself with its own life force, right? It didn't say how the neshama does that. And we're going to get to that, right?
One other question, this 10,000 model, 10,000...
That the Ramchal builds that model.
The Ramchal, but there's others, there's
the... I would trust the Ramchal. You know, the 6,000 is for this world.
Okay.
This world, so before we hear the 6,000, before we hit the 6,000 mark, you know, unless we got the dates wrong, you know, assuming that our calendar is correct, and assuming that that Gemara is to be taken literally, the Rambam and the Gemara, you know, wonders whether, you know, we have to take it so literally. We have to have Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim before that.
Before you hit 6,000. Before you hit 6,000.
Because at 6,000, it's game over.
Oh, and then we have from 6,000 to 10,000?
That's right. But it's in a whole gradation. 7,000 is like the Grand Shabbos. Everything is closed.
Mm-hmm.
Closed for renovations.
Right.
And that's when HaShadosh said, Tzadikim Knafayim, Veshotim Al Pnei Amayim. You know, that's the seventh millennia, that the wings are really the koach of the neshama sustaining the body during that time. In the eighth, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chozer mechar shalomo, the body begins to evolve.
Uh-huh. And that's Olam Hazeh still.
The eighth millennium is Olam Haba.
That's already Olam Haba.
That's the new world. That it starts in the eighth millennium, but it's not fully developed until the tenth. It's a work in progress.
Okay.
But even the seventh millennium is a 7,000 closed for renovation. It's the Grand Shabbos. It's a 1,000-year Shabbos. Seventh millennium is like Ke'elef Shanim Beinecha Kiyom Esmo. It is the Grand Cosmic Shabbos. Everything is closed. And on the eighth millennium, it's, you know, the new week, as
right.
It were. Like the eighth, the Sunday is the eighth day. Right. Okay, so the neshama, one thing that the neshama does is that it evolves the body. Something which the body can't do for itself. Okay? But then the Ramchal later in the Derech Hashem qualifies this more, and this is Chelek Gimel Perek Aleph, and he says the punchline. over here, which is the real essence of the neshama, something which the Nefesh HaChaim elaborates on in the next paragraph that I quoted. But he says like this, and this is really the essence of what it is. Amnam Muvak calls that Nimto Baram Matsias Nafshi Nivdo Velimod. Meidach B'yos Baram El Kashro B'shoroshim El Yonim She'esho Li Kasher Bam. You know what the neshama is? The neshama is to give the body a connection to the higher realms. That is why it came into the body. Right? And that's what causes, this is the mechanics, says the Ramchal, that when I do a mitzvah, it affects the whole world. It affects the cosmos. Why? You know, you're here on earth. You shook your lulav. So, you know, at most you benefited yourself. All right, there's even more. Like, if I would pay a person $5 to take a broom and shake it in all directions, you would say, you know, he got the better end of the deal. He got definitely overpaid for 1 minute of work. So why is it that when you shake lulav, you're going to get olam haba? You're going to get eternality. Well, where's the midah keneged midah? Don't we say that we're sent here to work, so we should feel like we rightfully earned? It's a joke. You did something, you know, virtually symbolic relative to the reward that you got. So the Ramchal is answering that question over here. Said, no, that action that you did in physical, you only saw the physical side of that action. But because you have a neshama in your body, and the neshama remains, and this is the important point, it remains tied to the higher realms, as we're about to learn, and Nefesh HaChaim, builds this up more. When we say your neshama entered the guf, it didn't enter your guf to the exclusion of being in heaven. Now, it resents being in the guf at all, but only the most bottom aspect, called the nefesh, inhabits your body. This is called ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. They never entered the body. They remain in those higher realms, right, connected to Hashem. Right? So when you do an action on earth, it sends vibes all the way up the neshama, because the neshama was involved in the mitzvah, but it vibes and it creates cosmic reverberations. Now those cosmic reverberations are powerful. We don't see with our flesh eyes what our mitzvahs accomplish, because the neshama is carrying those vibes and making differences in all the different realms to the highest places in heaven. If you could see what you accomplish with the mitzvah because you have a neshama, you would understand how the mitzvah deserves olam haba. Right? We only see the physical side of the action, right? But because we have a neshama, that's why the mitzvah reverberates. And that's why, not only lo mi ba, you can't give a mitzvah to an animal. If you give a mitzvah to an animal, it won't make a difference. But as we're going to learn later in the series, even by Goyim, they don't have a neshama like we do that causes this cosmic difference. They have a type of neshama that, in the words of the Ramchal that we will learn later in the series, they can only change their own fate, but they can't change the world. We could optimize the cosmos. We can make the world full of bracha. We could do a mitzvah and make the economy better. We can do a and bring rainfall, and they can't do that. They can only do things that affect their own fate. So that in their quasi neshama that they have, that we will yet learn. But the ikar nekuda over here is that the neshama is a transdimensional creature. It didn't come into the body to be in the body and not in heaven. That would defeat the purpose. Mm-hmm. It's in the body to make a connection to heaven, and that's where, you know, that is where the power of the mitzvahs comes from. Otherwise, mitzvahs wouldn't make a difference. What's the difference between shaking a lulav and twirling a broom around? And now we're going to learn, and this was something which the Hasidim and the Misnagdim had a little bit of a question of emphasis. Everyone agrees that only mitzvahs work that way. If I stand on my head and spit nickels, I never understood what that expression means, but you know, what people say, right? If I would stand on my head and spit nickels, right? It's not gonna send any vibrations up to heaven. Only mitzvahs do that. It's a certain type of action that accesses the power of the neshama, right? You know, or if you do something l'shem shamayim, not everything that we do is gonna tap into this awesome power. Only mitzvahs. Now, now everyone agrees that more or avoiding lo tasses, right? Mm-hmm. Doing something that is within the halachic system, right? the halachic system. Now everyone agrees that doing it also with ahava and yira makes it more spiritual and involves more neshama, puts more neshama into the action. Is the emphasis on that it's halacha, or is the emphasis on the ahava v'yira and the hachona and the lishma? It's a little bit of a conflict between the chassidim and the misnagdim, particularly by davening, the trade-off of whether the ikkar is the zman tefillah, because of tefillah shelo bizman, it's not a mitzvah anymore, so it's not going to work. That was Nefesh HaChaim's taina, who was the, you know, the exponent of the misnagdim. You know, where chassidim say, well, maybe, you know. Yeah, and I guess it's not as big of a machlokes people make out, because you know, they're relying more on the b'di'eved, so we'll do it b'di'eved, but we also have the ahava v'yira, so maybe that supplements. Yeah. It was a big machlokes. You put the emphasis on the koch of halacha to bring out the power of the neshama, or do you put the emphasis on the ahava v'yira and the lishma to bring out the koch of the neshama, right? But everyone agrees that, you know, what the other person is saying is perfectly valid. The question is the balance.
But wouldn't every side agree that the mitzvahs are there to, as the kelim, to tap into this power of the neshama? You know, meaning that, like, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov didn't need the mitzvahs, or the way the mitzvahs were given to us. They were able to tap into neshama their own way. So in the same...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying is that the same way, like, yes, maybe we're not the level that Misnagdim would say, we're not at that level, so we need the mitzvahs to tap into the neshama, whereas the Hasidim are saying, no, you could somehow, theoretically, or have such simcha, or such yira, or such a connection in a moment that you could tap into your neshama.
Okay. Yeah, I can't speak for what the Hasidim hold. I only know off the top of my head what the Nefesh HaChaim says about that. And he says, indeed, that the Avos, you know, their mitzvahs don't do what our mitzvahs do. Right? You know, their mitzvahs, you know, as it were, move the pieces of reality around. They didn't rewire reality. The Avos, when they did their mitzvahs, you know, not mitzvah v'voseh, not mitzvah v'oseh, right? And we know godol mitzvah v'oseh, v'mishenu mitzvah v'oseh. So doing the mitzvahs voluntarily. So look, there's essential truth to these actions, but since they didn't have the divine authorization, the avos did not rewire reality with the mitzvahs that they did. Right? They didn't rewire reality. Ever since Matan Torah, says the Nefesh HaChaim, right? Since Matan Torah, now, our mitzvahs actually changed the world fundamentally, right? You know, so the others were able to, like, the others were, like, able to move the pieces around to optimize, but not fundamentally rewire. So I want to tell you something very nice from, you know, the question is like this. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam withhold the Torah from the others? Godol mitzvah v'oseh mimi she'eino mitzvah v'oseh. Why would Hashem want to withhold that goodness? Give them the commands and give them the mile of Godol Mitzvah V'Oseh. So I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Wan, Rav Shiva Ben Yisrael, he said a word like this: you can't give Torah to Yechidim, because Torah is infinite, and also, but he put the emphasis on another aspect, that it's a bris olam, it's an eternal covenant. Mm-hmm. You cannot make an eternal covenant, or for that matter, to a yachid who's here today and gone tomorrow. Only a nation is a receptacle large enough to hold the Torah. So Ribbono Shel Olam had to wait until Am Yisrael was beside Am, because once you're an Am, you're a corporate entity that never dies, because every generation is a part of the corporation. But if you give the Torah to a yachid, that yachid is in the kever tomorrow, right? You can't make a bris olam with a yachid. Right, so Ribbono Shel Olam had to wait till Am Yisrael became an Am, and that's the secret that all the neshamas were at Har Sinai. It was given to a corporation, Morosha Kihilas Yaakov, because only a nation is a eternal thing that never dies. So you can give an undying covenant to only some entity that in itself is undying, you know, which is an Am. Right? But the Nefesh HaChaim is very adamant that that when the others did the mitzvahs voluntarily, they were just moving the pieces around, in his words, to optimize. And he links it to why you will find that they were always, you know, they served Elohim, right? So Avraham, you know, so as Elohim is Salach Noach, so the others, Avraham went Lifneo Elohim. We always find the term Elohim, not Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Because they were optimizing the powers of reality, but only optimizing, they weren't evolving, right? Our Torah mitzvahs evolves reality, much like the neshama evolves the guf. So the mitzvahs that we do, which unleashes the koach neshama, also sends new energy, and is the one thing that the Adam does that no one else, no other creature in reality does this. All other creatures in reality, everything is top down, right? Hashem is gozer, and at first, as it were, the event first happens in Ruchnius, and then goes down to a lower plane, until it happens in Gashmius, right? When the snow falls, so the gzera that the snow falls happened first in heaven, and then the ministering angels can, you know, do it in their way, and then, you know, in Gashmius it happens, you know, at the bottom of the chain. Everything goes top down, from divine order to the higher creature that conveys it to the lower creature. Besod hakol bidei shamayim. Chutz mi yiras shamayim, which is free will. Now, and that's what the Ramchal says, you know, also on the source sheet that we learned tonight. The neshama gives us free will, because the neshama enables us to do things bottom up. Right? All right. So there's a.
Bottom up, just to be clear, bottom.
We start on earth.
We could be a mashpia.
We could be a mashpia. It starts on earth. And the reverberations go heavenward. The Adam is the one creature like that because of the neshama that mainly remained in heaven, right? It's more in heaven than it is in your body. And that's the function, says the Ramchal. You know, to make it that our maisim on earth will make a difference, a cosmic difference. And that's what makes your maisim worth olam haba. If they would just be physical actions, why are they worth olam haba? Right?
So how are we to work? Does it work? Here's the status of excellence of Avaida, and like we have to like reach that goal, or do we decide what our Avaida is really supposed to look like? Meaning, which way is it working? Is it we need to get to the goal and it's A, B, and C, or it's up to us to sort of complete what we think is the Avaida?
All right. You guys are raising questions we're going to deal with much later in the series.
No, but now
he's getting into a very important point. Why do we need so many Jews, so many neshamas? So the Baruch Hashem actually divided up the cosmic work across many different Jews, across many different generations. Between all of us, the work gets done. Yeah, the Ramchal, one of his Talmidim, has a book called Das Vos Chelk Sheni. He asked the following question. Let's say me and another Jew are sitting at a lunch table at the same time. I'm eating kosher, and I'm being omen b'nisoyen not to eat the treif he's offering me, and he's eating treif. How does that average out in the olamas? One guy is doing the tikkun of eating kosher, and at the same time and at the same place, someone's doing the pagam of eating treif. How does that average out cosmically? Do they cancel each other out? What happens? His model is that every one of us is hooked up into the entirety of the cosmos in a different way. All right, so even if we're a ravim zelazeh, and I'm gonna suffer maybe for not protesting or not teaching you, but you can't offset what I do right. You know, what I've done right is, you know, I'm hooked into, you know, so even though we're learning about the Shum is everyone's transdimensional along his own unique route. So you're eating treif at the same time that I'm eating kosher is not gonna cancel out the tikkun of my eating kosher. So even if we are a Ravim Zelazeh, that means I should educate you, I should...
This isn't just the general ledger, it's... Right?
But?
It's not... That's one level of look. I mean, the bottom level is just purely Schar V'Oinish accounting debits and credits. You know, it's like what Rav is saying, is that everybody has their unique connection and path to the bigger cosmic reality.
Yeah, no, but of course there's like, we do have to deal with our kesher to each other, So it's a very complicated thing, but we also have to know everyone has his own unique path. But there is such a concept that if you totally goof off, a person wasted his whole life, right, and did not do his job that he was born to do, someone else could pick up that job, right? Whether you're going to come back begilgul, or sometimes someone else just picks it up. And that's the secret where we find interesting lashon chazal. No tel chelko v'chelek chavero began eden. What do you mean? If I earned it, it's all mine. What do you mean? I took my chelek and the chelek of my friend. Manavshach, if I earned it, it's mine. Right? So it's like, chelko v'chelek chavero. If I earned it, it's all mine. Kula sheli. No, the pshat is like this. This was meant to be his chilek in Gan Eden. That was his mission. He screwed up. I picked up his job, and I did his job instead of him. So I was no talk, my chilek that I was always created to get, and I picked up his chilek also because he was a total goof off, and I had to do his work for him. You know, for him cosmically, but I get the schar. So it's called I took the chilek that was bets and meant for someone else. All right. We'll just read this in the Nefesh HaChaim. It's so beautiful. The Nefesh HaChaim Shalav Perek Hey, the Kikar Adam Unatua Lamala Brosha. You know, the Ikar of the Adam is really above in the Shorosh HaNeshama. The Zof Nikra Guf Nal, I am Batikun. That's why the body is called in Tikune Zor the shoe, right? The shoe of the Neshama. Most of the Neshama is up there. The body's just the shoe, right? It's only like the heels from that root that go into the body of the person. But right, this lashon of the famous mishnah. Right, Kosher didn't want the cosmos to be jealous of each other. Right, the so first he created heaven and earth. That's equal. Shemayim and Oretz. 1 point for Shemayim team, 1 point for Eretz team, right? Basheni Rakia, that's a point for Shemayim team, right? Bashlishi Tach Eretz, that's Eretz team. V'chein al derech zeh b'dal v'hei, because on Dal he created the celestial bodies, Shemayim team, and Hei he created the fish and the birds, Eretz team, right? Bashishi Balavras Adam. So on the sixth day he came to create the Adam. Right. Omer Imani Barasam and Yonim and Shambam. If I create him only from heaven, it's unfair. Heaven team will be up 1 point over Oretz team. That's if he's totally heavenly. Right? If Imani Barasam and Atachtonim, it's the same problem. It'll be point Oretz will be up 1 point. So Mina Yonim Mina Tachtonim. Offer Mina Adam, so that's gonna make him a composite. So now it's perfectly, perfectly the tie is maintained because Oretz from earth and Neshama from heaven. So Nefesh HaChaim says, I challenge this medrash because if we're going to understand that the Neshama is in the guf, just the opposite. Oretz is up by 2 points. It got the guf and it got the Neshama, which is even more of a shtoch. It stole from the Elyonim. Right? So Elama. Lachain Yushuadam Hashem Koroi Koronatu Mala Beshorish Nishmasal Yonah Vavaderech Alfe Revavos Olamos Acha Katsayashi Nichmas Begufa Adam Lamata. The truth is like this. This is the pshat. Because the Neshama remains in heaven and it transverses infinite dimensions all the way down to the body. The neshama never stopped being in heaven, right? It stays rooted in heaven, and that's the secret of the Pintel Yid, our anchor, that we never lose our emuna, right? And it goes, transverses through infinite dimensions throughout the whole totem pole of reality till the aspect, its bottom aspect is in the body, right? That's the secret. Paul says Hashem, the chelik of Hashem is his nation, but Yaakov chevel nachasa, a rope of inheritance, Right? She coral kosher natula mala chelik havaya mamish kaviyachol. The ikar, you know, the roots are mamish chelik havaya. That's what we say chelik okami mal. Not that, you know, we're a piece of God, but we're connected to God. We have tveikus. As Rosh Shiva Rav Yaakov used to say, kol and chelik is a relationship, like you're a part of a family. Doesn't mean I cut you from the family. You know, you're mitchaber with the family. When we say chelik olkam imao, chelik Hashem amo, means the neshama is a creature that was created to have dveikus in Hashem, in a type of relationship like being a part of a family, the part whole relationship. It's not a physical division. And that's the high, that's the shorish on neshama. Right?
That I was going to ask before, is the answer is that, because I was going to ask is, how does the idea of
Tzelem Elokim... All right, so Tzelem Elokim is, we're going to come to that. That's we're not even there yet. Okay. Tzelem Elokim is the meta system. I'll just drop the spoiler. It's the meta system that holds body and soul together. Mm-hmm. Because we're explaining what one is. We're explaining what the other is. What is the system that encompasses both of them is the Tzelem, as we're going to learn. Right, the Pella that keeps the body. So the Tzelem is the whole that's greater than the sum of the parts. The whole that's the real you. Because the question that, I mean, you'll sleep tonight, right? You're going to ask, go home, now, am I a body, am I a soul? When I decide something, did I decide it with my body, am I my soul? Right? You know, who am I? Mm-hmm. Right? And we're going to discuss that. The real answer to that, since you raised questions, is that you are a Tzelem Elokim, and the Tzelem is the meta system that holds the two together. And we'll prove that from the Lashonos of Chazal. When you will be judged at the end of time, you will be judged not as a soul, not as a body. Rebbe Moshe is going to abide it. That's why it has to be Tchias Hametzim before the Yom HaDin HaGadol. We have to be judged as body and soul together.
It's both together.
That's the Tzelem. That's the Tzelem. And that's
Chatzi Hashem, Chatzi Lachem. We're the opposite.
So it's like a type of Bria.
A that emerges from the two together.
Right.
And that's the real you. Mm-hmm. You're not your parts. Right? You're your parts, and there's the you that emerges. That's your Tzelem.
But it doesn't... Right, which part of that... I always took it to mean Tzelem, like you mean say we have a piece of Hashem with us or in us.
Well, no, not a piece of, we have something divine, but right. It's not a piece of Hashem. It's what he said over here, and that's what Rashi used to say. And I say it in my book on Yud Gimel Ikrim, Chelek Elokam Mimal, that the Neshama has a Dveikus in Hashem. Mm-hmm. That's what it means.
Pointed out also that Minidei Kanafa,
right.
The Ficha is not your breath,
right.
It's never part of you.
That's right.
It's just air that you breathe in and you breathe out.
Right. So
even that expression.
Right, man de nafach mitoche nafach. Right. You know, we bring that in the sefer, I do believe. Right, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, when you blow up a balloon and the balloon flies away, you didn't lose a piece of yourself, even though at the time you blow, you thought you put your whole lungs in there. Right, there's a type of intimate relationship like a kiss, which is sharing a breath. As a matter of fact, that's what Chazal say. Yishakeni minashikos pihu was matan tarav, and Nefesh Chaim explains we felt our neshama at the time. Right, and that's the kiss. That's sharing the breath. So it's a connection. It's like a kiss. It's a dveikus.
Christ has a point.
Yes.
Dveikus.
Yes.
Does the Babus have the same neshama from the Yisrael group?
I mean, yeah, they had the same neshama, but they were limited because, maybe the way I understand it, I can't say for sure, but as I understand it, they had a Yiddish neshama, as you call it, but since they weren't an Am, they couldn't begin their mission. Properly, they just laid down the potential that got actualized by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're going to come to that. We're going to be actualized by Yetzias Mitzrayim when we became an Am. That's going to relate to Dibur that we're going to get to in a second. Yeah.
And then also in his approach, so if someone right now is in a mitzvah of OSF,
right.
So
that action is more body than it is soul.
It is the
chiyuv of the halacha that unleashes the power of the neshama.
Right. So you would understand that.
You get schar. You get something for it. It's not because
you would understand that even though they're part of Yisrael now, they still wouldn't get that same connection. Let's say a suma or something like that.
Right. Well, assume we pass in this chayv mitzvahs.
Right.
But you mean a cherish.
Right.
Right. You mean the cher? It's not a bardas. You know, and a kushkum mekapech scarcol biria, but it's not. Right. So the Ramchal says that mufurash, that the eno mitzvah v'osa doesn't change the world. With his mitzvah, but Akashka will always give schar for anything done right. But the mitzvah va'oso has the mission, that tzivui unleashes the power of the neshama. Aside, so it also unleashes the power of the Torah, because the Torah addressed it to him. It's a combo. All right, but it goes together in tandem. When the power of the Torah is unleashed, the power of the neshama is unleashed. Otherwise, without that, it's a regular bodily action. What brings out the neshama? The koach of Torah in the action is what brings out the neshama in the action and makes it cosmic.
Right.
That's what we need nashim b'ma'kezachta.
Right. Correct. Kesher Torah. Okay. And okay, so I just want to, let's finish this Nefesh HaChaim, then we'll speak out the rest. We'll see how going into overtime over here. But it's just such a beautiful Nefesh HaChaim. So Yaakov Chal also, what's a chevel, like a rope, right? The neshama is like a long rope going from the highest place in heaven all the way until it reaches a body. And all your deeds on earth awaken your root in heaven, like a string, like a rope. That, you know, goes from, you tie it to the ceiling and it goes all the way down. You shake the bottom edge of the rope, right? The wave goes up to the top of the rope, right? Without getting into all the Kabbalah over here, but so now if you flip the page. So the Ramchal over there that we bring, I'll say it outside, you know, it's like, right, so Derech Hashem, Chelek Gimel, Perek Gimel, says this is where Nevuah comes from. This, the Neshama, being, you know, transdimensional, that's how you could get a message from God, that's how you could get Ruach HaKodesh. And he differentiates over here between natural learning that comes from the biochemical life force. You know, we are naturally intelligent, you know, supposedly, right? So he describes in Sif Aleph over here, what you take in through your senses, right? Through your eyes, your ears, right? Through your, you absorb information, you process that information, you compare, that's all physical. You don't need a neshama for that. That's natural learning. Animals learn that way also. Right, they see, they remember, you know, you could train them, you know, that's natural. But there's spiritual thinking, and that's when an idea falls into your head. It's not that you calculated the idea, you didn't extrapolate it. So he explains that because we have a neshama, we can have a different type of intelligence. Mm-hmm. An intelligence they call sechel mushba, emanated intelligence, right? That we have this huge antenna called the neshama. We could just perceive things, not calculate things, not figure things out, just perceive them as they truly are, which, you know, and he says that the difference between this way of thinking and that way of thinking is mamash, the difference between guf thinking and neshama thinking, right?
Is that compared to instinct and sixth sense?
Yeah, so he's saying, you know, he says over there in that same parak, I didn't bring the whole parak, that there are different levels. On the highest level of absolute clarity and totally reliable, there's nevuah. That's, you know.
Right.
But there's like levels of Ruach HaKodesh. There's also levels that are even less than that called afagav de'iu lo chaze, mazle chaze. All of a sudden you feel a fear, right? And you know that, you know, the Gemara describes this with Daniel. He got a nevuah, but even the people with him shuddered, even though they weren't having the vision. And the Gemara says, even though they didn't see it, their mazel, meaning their shorish haneshama, perceived it, and it sent a vibe.
Right.
Right. It sent a vibe. Right.
And it's interesting. It sounds like the real way to have, you know, to have this, you know, nevuah and to see all this is when your guf and your neshama is like balanced together. Meaning, if someone's a Balgaiva,
right,
then it's completely out of whack. He's more goof, and his head is thinking
right
about other things. Then
right,
he can't have that balance to grow.
No, you're 100% correct. And the Rambam brings the halacha and Hilchos Yesodei Torah. The Navi has to be have a straight head, and good midas. And if not, and also he writes in the Mar Dvuchim, he also has to have a developed sense of imagination, because that's the kli that forms the images as a result of the shefa. You know, the shefa is mashpia on the dimyon to form the images, right? And if he doesn't have that, you know, then he call him psychic, call him a faker. He's not a navi. He can't be a navi. As a matter of fact, clearance to become a navi, you know, halachically, is first once you check your voice, baal midas tovus. Not a baal midas tovus. He could split the Pacific Ocean. We don't care, because he can't be a navi. He's just not shaykh. Because of what God he said, it is not possible that he's getting, you know, his body is not a kli to be makabel. You know, he's not worthy. You know, yeah, that is 100% correct, right? So the neshama being transdimensional, so that's what facilitates ruach hakodesh, right? Ruach hakodesh, nevuah, getting and of course seichel mushpa. You know, the seichel that we have when we calculate, we're approximating. We could be off. We're speculating. It's a calculation. Sometimes the calculation is very tight. Sometimes the calculation is rather loose and more speculative. Of course, Ruach HaKodesh is, it is the thing itself. That's what Rashi says by Betzal. Chachma, Tvuna, Ubedas. Chachma is what a person hears from his Rebbe. Tvuna is what you figure out yourself. Das, like real knowledge. Rashi says, Ruach HaKodesh. The real knowing of something is your eyes could be fooling you. You only know what it looks like. You only know what it sounds like. The thing itself, right? That you can only get to know the thing itself, as Kant used to call it, only with Ruach HaKodesh, you know, the Das. To really know something with absolute clarity is Ruach HaKodesh. That's the reliable information you get from Seichel Mushpa. Right? Seichel Mushpa, and that the Neshama enables that. Right? So now in the bottom of, you know, the source sheet, Derech Eitz Chaim. So now he said, he puts out another thing. You know, the neshama gives free will. Right? The neshama gives bechira. Right? Something which the angels don't have. Right? So now we're going to get into something very fundamental. Right? You know, about the difference between angels and human beings. And it really boils down to this. Angels may be very spiritual. They may be very holy. They are not transdimensional. Right? And that's why, as he points out, they're called Omdim. Nasatcha Mahalchim ben Omdim. And you should notice from Rashi in Parshas Vayera, right? Why you send three Malachim to Avram? Because Ein Malach Olseh Shtei Shlichus. They can only do one thing. That is because they are stuck on their unique Madrega, right? And they are just inclusive of their Madrega, not higher, and generally speaking, not lower, right? Not lower, right? What happens if a malach falls from his madrega, the nephilim, right? They became big balei avera, Aza and Azael, hence the Azazel, which is Maram is on them, the nephilim, right? They said, what's this man? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them down into a guf, right? And they failed because the trans-dimensional aspect of the neshama is what enables bechira. So let's say your yetzahar is challenging you on this level, right? But your neshama also has a level above that. Your neshama is transdimensional all the way up. So you could draw koach from above where the nisoyon is, you know, to overcome the nisoyon. A malach, if you would make it susceptible to a yetzahar, has no programming to win, right? Because once you make it vulnerable, it is what it is. So now it's vulnerable, it will be nichshol. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated with the Nephilim. He put these malachim in bodies, made them susceptible to Yetzirah, and they were toast. It's a recipe for disaster as simple as 1 + 1 = 2. They were made vulnerable. You gave them the Yetzirah, they're nichshol. They don't have a higher aspect of themselves that they can tap into to overcome. The Adam is called a holech because we could climb the ladder of our own neshama, right? And that's what gives bechira the call. So now this is not taught well in yeshivas. They tell you angels, you know, that, you know, angels don't have bechira, and you know, that's why they don't do wrong. That's not accurate. Angels don't have bechira because it wouldn't make a, you know, is because they're not transdimensional. Right? The reason why they don't sin is because they don't have a Yetzer Hara. But give them a Yetzer Hara, they will fail. Get them Yetzer, they will fail. Right? You know, so they don't sin because they don't have a Yetzer Hara. Bechira is the koch to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And only the Adam has it because of how an Adam could always tap into a higher power above where the Nisayon is happening to choose.
They're not at Tzon Elokim.
They're not at Tzon Elokim. Correct.
And on the opposite way, too, it's the Malachim of a total, complete Baal Guf, right? Which doesn't have, in a way, Bechira either. It's not real good, right? Somebody who's not connected to their neshama and is a complete Baal Guf, I guess a behema, or a person that's like a behema, you can argue that's not Bechira.
Okay, so fine. So my Rebbe, Yaakov, I'll deal with your question. There's a Yaakov on the screen. The Bechira means, so first of all, ask, does the average psychiatrist or psychologist believe in Bechira?
No.
No. It's a man's program. Listen, you're wired up the way you're wired up, right? And many scientists who believe we live in a mechanical universe of cause and effect. So where's Bechira? Free will. Wait a minute, it's dominoes. It's all dominoes. Well, it's your biochemical dominoes.
Right.
And yet we believe in Bechira that even with 100%, taiva, right? You could still overcome.
Correct.
Right? Where does it come from? Because the neshama is transdimensional, and you could draw koch from a higher place, and the neshama is always, because it's transverse, it's mobile, right? So the neshama could draw koch, right, from above, right? So if you believe in a closed circuit, so it's all dominoes, but the neshama taps into a higher power, right? That could be machria, even though on the level where the Nisar is happening, all the deck is stacked against it. But the neshama comes from a higher place, or has an aspect, wherever the Nisar is, there's a higher aspect to tap into and make the decision from there. So my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, told us in Shir that, it is a mistake to say, the Adam has Bechira. Animals make choices all the time, right? He shared with us his experience of observing stray cats and bite for gun. They look, they smell this garbage bin, they smell that garbage bin, and they decide this one, they like this one better. They look, whether they want to take a jump or they want to go down that way. So you observe, they're making decisions. They make decisions. But how do you define a decision? Is it decision, for us and for animals, sadly, is that it's a tug of war. You have two different taivas, chocolate or vanilla, you only have money for one scoop, right? Chocolate, right? So, right? Why? Because the taiva for chocolate was stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tug of war.
Okay.
And if I would have known your taivas, I could have calculated what you're doing. And he says, that's not Bechira. Animals decide like that all the time. And he was going on to say the tragedy that a person could go his whole life and never use the koach of Bechira even once.
Right.
Should I become a doctor? Should I become a lawyer? The lawyer, but the doctor may have to work on Shabbos. I'll become a lawyer because I need my day of rest. He chose the path called the stronger taiva or the path of least resistance. That's not Bechira. The godless of Bechira is that it comes from a higher place, that even if all the taiva is against you, I won't do it because I won't do it. Because of the I. It comes from the I, not because of the taiva or because I'm embarrassed if I'll be caught. The decision comes from the I. I am the only cause for this decision.
Back to Gotti's point of the Bechira comes from a perfect balance of the El Yonim and the Tachtonim.
Oh yeah, I mean.
And that's what we do ultimately by Maidim. We tell Hashem equally. We're telling Hashem, Noigalacha Achayenu Hamisurim Yedecha V'Al Nishmaisenu HaBekutitzlach. We're thanking Hashem for that. That perfect balance of our chayinu, our physical chayinu, and our nishmaisenu, our neshama, and when we get to that level where then they can both coexist, then it's naidalacha, that it's a complete,
full
thing.
But the point of Bechira, again, is that, the I The I is the cause of the choice, not the taiva. Not the taiva or the busha of being caught.
What's better for me? What's
I?
The I.
So you tap into a part of you that's above the whole fray.
Right.
And okay, this is what the Yetzer Tov tell me. This is what the Yetzer. What do I want to do? That there's an I that's on a higher level, that's above the fray, and with that koch, you could go even against a 90% taiva. Yeah.
Is that the point of the Muslim movement?
I don't know which, there are many schools in the Muslim movement, I can't...
In general?
What?
To overcome that, to make the decision based on the eye as opposed to the...
Well, you said, my Rebbe was saying that is the yesod of Bechira, that is the unique power of the Neshama. Just giving in to, you know, the more reasonable thing, right? Or the more appealing thing, which is how sadly we make most of our decisions in life, you're not tapping into the koch of Bechira.
Right.
You're not tapping into that unique koch. So we go, you said, a person goes whole life and never really been, you made a lot of choices, but you're never really bocher ever. Right?
We are bocher. Remember, used to doing an avera. I mean, then again and again and again and again and another avera. And then I decide I'm not going to do that avera. That's Bechira.
Yes, that's Bechira. That's an example. Yeah, tshuva is it. You say tshuva is tikkun koach ha-bechira, Moshe used to say. I said tshuva is a very prime example of changing your bechira. What's tshuva gemura? It's the same woman, same taiva, same place, and you didn't do it. Why?
Bechira.
He said, that's why. No, that's what he said. He explained in that same shir. That's the secret that the Ram put his treatise on bechira in Hilchos tshuva. That's what tshuva is. It's to tap into the bechira. Right? Okay, so we'll just end off on one point. Two points. The first one, the source sheet we brought from the Rambam, Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. We're not going to read it inside this time, but the Rambam says that your neshama gives you the ability to understand malachim, right? Or things about Hashem, right? We don't need the neshama for mathematics or anything of earthly pursuits. It's again, and that the neshama gives our ability to understand these things because the neshama is transdimensional, and that's why we can understand things that are beyond our dimension. So what we know about Ruchnius, what we know metaphysics, Kabbalah, that's all with your neshama. Now, it is true that the Mekubam say you really need your neshama to understand anything from Torah, because Shor Shnogach HaSapara, or Shnayim Ochsim Metalis, is only cosmetically similar to secular law, but innately it is, right, from Shemayim, and that's true, but, you know, a person could delude themselves into thinking that they understand Shor Shnogach HaSapara, or, you know, Shnayim Ochsim Metalis, if he learns Torah without deploying the neshama, which is what the necessity of Amelus Patoros is, to deploy the neshama, right? But by Kabbalah, you would never even get started, right? Because the whole subject matter is the abstract, and that's why by learning Kabbalah, you know, where you have to access the koach of the neshama, that's why the Sfarim say you have to be worthy, and you should go to the mikveh, and, you know, because you need to deploy the neshama for something, learning about something that's beyond our physical dimension. The biochemical intelligence understands what's from here, the sciences, right? You know, and whatever, and how to deal with people. That's the biochemical intelligence can handle that just fine, right? But you need the neshama for the abstract things that are beyond our dimension. That's what the Ram writes in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. And he said something very charif, that a person has to have epesam shaychus, seemingly the yud gimel ikrim zav. You have to know something about God to be immortal. If your neshama never tapped in, this is a sheet of the Rambam. If your neshama never tapped in to understanding something beyond, why should it live after you die? You know, retain your identity, your consciousness. You know, you never used your neshama. You never used your neshama, right? So that's what he writes. So it's pretty. It's an Hilchos Yesod HaTorah associate. But I just want to get to one more point. Dibur, and this ties into what I was telling Shlomo before, that the Yitzias Mitzrayim was when the Avos went into Achai. They built up potential, but we had to become an Am for that to go into Achai. For all the Hashem made promises to the Avos, the delivery on those promises was by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? So now we find in the Arizal something very interesting. It's already in the Tikkuni Zohar that it, until Yitzhak, the Dibur was in Golos. The Dibur was in Golos, and Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know, aside without liberation, speech got liberated. And that's why Kol Hamarbe Lesaper, be Yitzias Mitzrayim, Reza Meshubach, let's say, and I just talk and talk. More description is better. And that's what the Tikkuni Zohar says. Pesach. Pesach. What happened? But that's the point. What is Dibur? And we say it only comes from the Neshama. Dibur is transdimensional. We are violating our speech if all we use our speech for is nothing qualitatively better than how a dog barks. The dog, you know, I have a golden retriever, and it communicates. You know, certain sounds I know wants food, certain sounds I know wants to go out, and, you know, mating calls, right? You know, it's sad to say, but I remember the comic strip, The Far Side. Gary Larson. It's one of the things that it's not as funny as unless you see it, you know.
Right.
But you know, but he had one of his friends, you know, mating calls. They have a dog going woof woof, you know, and a bird going chirp chirp, and a man going, hey baby, right? You know, if all you use your dibur for is for the same stuff that the animals use it for, the dibur's in gullus, right? The dibur's in gullus. Right, the dibur is transdimensional. It's supposed, you're supposed to chop ideas and bring those ideas into the world by putting them into speech. Right, right. So yeah, so of course, you know, the epitome of dibur are, you know, there's two types: Torah and Tefillah. Torah is heavenly ideas put in words, and by putting them into words, we bring it into Olam Hazeh. And there's Tefillah, which is bottom up. Right? So that's what Dibur is. And that's what it means that the Neshama gives Dibur. The Neshama is transdimensional. Dibur is supposed to be a transdimensional experience of bringing ideas into the world. The idea is Nislabish and Dibur, and that's how it's communicated and brought into the world. Or vice versa, Tefillah is to send Dibur back up. Dibur is supposed to be transmitted. If all we use our Dibur for is for the same stuff that the animals, you know, do, or just, it's called, that was called that the Dibur was in Golos. So Yetzias Hashem was also unleashing that power that the Ovis built up the potential. It was unleashed in actuality with Yetzias Mitzrayim Matan Torah. It's called that speech finally got liberated. That the Dibur was being used for the purpose of, you know, Torah and Tefillah. That is the point. And you know, the idea of Dibur, you know, that human society should be, you know, is that we should build a society based on ideas. But if our language is no qualitatively not more than what the animals could also communicate about, you know, Parnassa warning each other of danger, they could do all that, then that's a chilul of the Dibur. We've not tapped in. Dibur is supposed to be transdimensional, bringing, you know, ideas, you know, into the world, or communicating, you know, sending Diburim up with the Tefillah. Okay, that's tonight. That does it for tonight. Just one more thing. Someone, Yaakov Deo, asked, he's tuning in all the way from Eretz Yisrael at 4 a.m. He asked, so if the, what, you know, how the Tzelem, how can it be the Guf when it says, Be'or Basar Tal Visheni? But the Tzelem, Yaakov, is not the flesh and blood, right? Even though that alone in this day and age is a madrega, like Naomi Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi is more Botox than Buster Vadum, right? Right, but the, right, Lev Botox. Anyway, the you know, but you know, the flesh is not the Tzelem. You know, the Tzelem is the aspect of the body that is mergeable with the Neshama. The fusion, the aspect of body that fuses. But we're going to learn, as we're going to learn a little bit later, when we get into Tzelem, we're going to learn that the Neshama and Guf together is a cosmic map. It's a little mini model of all of reality. The body is special also. We haven't gotten there yet. The body is a microcosm of all Gashmias, just like, as we learned already tonight, the Neshama is a microcosm of all Ruchnias because it transverses all the different dimensions from the highest to the lowest. So between the body and the Neshama, you have the entirety of the cosmic map. That's Tzelem Elokim. No, it's not the flesh and blood. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Right, it doesn't.
Another parallel to that is last week's parsha that at Har Sinai, right? That it says the Shechina just came down, right? The Kisei HaKavod just resting on his right, the Shechina's legs, right on top.
You can take it with you.
Har Sinai.
Okay, cool.
That where the rest of
it affected, right? Yeah.
So
the rest of the Shechina was up.
My email
part.
Is Evan
Shesina.
What?
Like with Evan
S H E S I Y A. S I Y A.
So the Shechina will go.
Evan Shesina.
I think it's just the Kisei HaKavod.
Evan Shesina. All one word. E V N S H E S I Y A. And the my cell phone is 917. 612-4778. And I have a website, evanshasia.com.
Okay,
fine.
Right.
When you say Moshe, who's the Rebbe?
Ramosha Shapiro.
I like it. Rav Shkaiach.
Rebbe, just quick question. First of all, in terms of the Malachim and Bechira, so I always understood, obviously, that since it's a separate Bria, the Neshama, it's not the same as Ruchnius as everything else. So,
it is.
I mean, only an Adam would be shy of the Bechira.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, though, that, first of all, Rav Moshe, I didn't see this inside, but I've heard that he goes to Malachim. Malachim really would have Bechira, just that they're so overwhelmed by truth that therefore they're not shy of it, which I know Rav Yaakov regard you with very much. But the problem is that I saw this during Kalan Das Tfunos Mashma also. For me, at least, to me, when I read it was mashma that Bechira of Malach, meaning Malachim are shy at the Bechira, they're just so overwhelmed by truth.
Oh,
that
I remember Loshen in a Talmud of Ramchal Fakir, he says that Malachim don't have Bechira, but they could malfunction.
No one's smiling.
They're not perfect. Right? They could malfunction. So that's what he says in the Peshat, like by stone, Kimashkisim Anach. And then suddenly they have to eat a piece of humble pie. It was a malfunction. Because since they, was what we alluded to over here, they went down in Madrega and they got confused.
Right, when the Tachtonim that they have.
Right.
But
it's not Bechira like we have, because we put the emphasis on being misgabra over the Ra.
Sure.
We have to also realize that it's a lot worse when we choose evil.
Right,
that means I want to do evil.
For sure.
Right. It's not just the Yetzer. The Yetzer did it. No, I decide.
Yeah.
Just like, because the misuse of the Kofi misgabra means I opted for it.
Right.
That's what makes me more guilty.
Right. I'll find out Ramchai. He mentioned he wasn't really the main discussion. It was kind of agav. He was talking about the koach of the group in the zman, in one of the zman when it's battle. And he says it's like the malachim, which are so overwhelmed by truth that it's not shy of the fear. So I was just thrown off by that logic.
Which is obvious, right?
Like overwhelmed by truth, maybe makes them they can't be gullible to a yes or horrors.
He's like, he's literally running.
Sorry, I'm just saying
like
they wouldn't be shy of the fear no matter, even if they wouldn't have that truth.
That's what's going to change. That's what he says. When we found that they do wrong, he says even the sitra achra. He says even
Ramchal.
He says even when we say in the Zohar that the Sitracha was married, it wasn't
right.
with Bechira.
Yeah.
It malfunctioned.
Right.
It misunderstood its purpose.
Right. The question is when it's the Malachim in the Torah when they seemingly do wrong.
Right.
I understand that.
Yeah, so they malfunctioned.
Right.
Because they were sent to Earth. They lost. The reception was bad. The reception was bad.
Right.
And they malfunctioned. He says even the Sitra Achra, its merit was a malfunction. Because they didn't have Bechira as we know it. He says, he explains what the malfunction was. It sensed that whenever people do a chet, it gets stronger. So it thought that, that's my tachlis. My tachlis must be to get people to sin, for me. But yeah, that's
obviously, right?
No,
it's
not obvious. And then, in terms of the Bechira, right, where Dessler said that also, that most people don't make a lot of choices during their life. And most people, it's not Bechira. For most people, right?
Yeah, that's very sober.
Even if you think you're doing Bechira, it might not be. Meaning, it might just be your that you're trained in that way,
right?
You know?
Right. Yeah. Right. There's choices. There's I guess the way to say it is, there's options and there's bechira.
Right, for sure. Right. Decisions. I think that's the general.
Right. So, Bezer Hashem Thursday night, Bezer Hashem. We'll try if you're able.
I'll try.
But it's always Zoom.
We'll talk because I think that twice a week is.
Twice a week could be much. Also, like Monday nights are. They're like perfect for me. Thursday back at work, I got nothing. Monday night, Thursday.
No.
We need to come up with maybe some alternative vehicles, or maybe a piece or something online. You know, like I think it. We should discuss. Like,
okay.
Not it shouldn't be. I agree. There should be something more running and not just once a week. But I think let's utilize. You know, maybe once a week. In person, share, you know,
and once a week online,
maybe online or maybe just sharing a clip or a video or a
combo written piece slash,
or something
slash,
or,
like going
or
into
hey
shots,
you know so, yeah learn, you know here's just even some Mari Mikhaimos, you know, right. Just I think it could be a combination.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Something also like
that
practical.
Thing.
And I would like
also something that
constantly
always. Maybe an exercise.
But I was also saying is like I think every week there's always some tie-in or give the shama five or even this week as ayin tapa zayin change everything. Always something
has a connection. So maybe there should be like a weekly Parsha Mimer that ties into the idea of Gufa Neshama.
Love it.
Okay.